How surprised was Hillary Clinton that night last November when we all thought she was going to win by four, and she lost by four? That's a swing of eight. Wow, that was surprising.
I think the only person that took it harder than her was Rachel Maddow.
Does she think she has a future? I've heard New York City mayoral thoughts. I've heard maybe something else in the works. Joe Biden in New Hampshire over the weekend. Oh, I'm not running. Mm-hmm. Amy Parnes is the senior White House correspondent for the Hill newspaper. She covered Hillary Clinton during the campaign. She covers the Trump administration now, along with her co-author, Jonathan Allen. She has a terrific new book out called Shattered. We welcome Amy to the program. I've heard a lot of great things about this book. Amy, I want to read a little bit out of the book first, then ask you, what was she thinking? After the primary loss in Michigan, Hillary needed answers from her team on what they planned to do. It was hard enough to run against Bernie, Trump, the RNC, the FBI, Benghazi, and the media, but the one person with whom she didn't seem particularly upset, herself. So did Hillary Clinton not learn anything from 08 that she might be a little off-putting to the American people?
That's the thing. She became the inevitable candidate again. She had 8 years to kind of learn her lessons from 08. And I think that, you know, my co-author and I detail in this book that there were a lot of problems with message, with some staff issues, a larger image problem that kind of loomed over her campaign, and clearly the email controversy, which she spent half a year dealing with before she finally apologized. I think all these things kind of led to what we thought. You know, it's funny, we thought she would win, but it led to her demise.
Was there ever a thought in the Clinton campaign about maybe somebody other than Tim Kaine? It just didn't seem like he could really bring it for her. Was there ever a thought that maybe Elizabeth Warren, maybe Bernie, was that ever considered?
Yeah, so she looked at her list, and we detail this a lot in the book, and she wasn't really happy about it. She thought that it needed something, someone else needed to kind of spice things up a bit. And she, for a while, they considered Elizabeth Warren more so than the public thought, because they thought that would be kind of the excitement they needed. But I think in the end, she didn't feel like she had enough transactional history with Elizabeth Warren, and that's sort of why they didn't ultimately go through with it. But I think it was exciting to a lot of people. But, you know, she's a very kind of cautious candidate, and so she went with the cautious choice.
What about as far as campaign managers go? You know, John and I had mentioned this to you off the air, but you got a guy named David Axelrod, and I know that when he worked with President Obama in 2008, that might have off-put the Clintons, but why wouldn't you work with this guy? He knows how to win.
You know, David Axelrod was the person we heard the most about during the campaign, because people felt like they needed a David Axelrod on the campaign, someone who could speak truth to her and just tell it like it was. And she didn't really have that. She had John Podesta kind of flying at 50,000 feet, and she had Robbie Mook, her campaign manager, flying at like 15,000 feet, but there was no one kind of in the middle. And that was a void that a lot of people felt like needed to be filled, and it never was. And there was never that person. You know, Huma Abedin is a very close aide of hers, but a lot of people felt like she was gatekeeping and not relaying information to Secretary Clinton, and that was problematic as well.
Amy Parnes is here, senior White House correspondent for the Hill newspaper in Washington. She's a co-author of Shattered, Inside Hillary Clinton's Doomed Campaign. Give us the juiciest tidbit from election night in the Clinton camp there at the Javits Center, I think, and what was going on in New York City behind the scenes when they looked at first Florida coming in so late, and then North Carolina, and then up we go up the East Coast and into the Rust Belt.
Right. Yeah, they see Florida. They see that it's not going their way. Bill Clinton is calling his aides from the hotel room at the Peninsula Hotel in Manhattan, down the street from the Javits Center. He's not hearing what he wants to hear. They think, you know, Robbie Mook keeps trying to brief the Clintons. They're doing hourly briefings with campaign officials. And basically, he's telling them, okay, let's hold on to North Carolina. Maybe that'll come in. Maybe Pennsylvania. Surely that doesn't happen for them. And then there's sort of this quiet in the room where everyone describes Secretary Clinton as being very stoic as she's getting these results back. And there's this debate going on in the room about, does she go out and give her concession speech to all the people who are waiting at Javits Center. But ultimately, they were only in rough draft version. They only had one rough draft of the concession speech, which shows you she wasn't planning to lose that night. And so she wanted to take some time and work on it. So she sends some aides back to work on it all night. They're up till 5 a.m. They finally slip her the speech under her door. She goes over it in the morning and kind of they feel like they need to be a little more conciliatory than the original speech wanted. The original speech basically wanted her to go out there and kind of accuse Donald Trump of being all these bad things, but she wanted to be a little more conciliatory, and so that ends up happening. And the speech she gives is one that's more hopeful and one of the best speeches I think she gave in the campaign.
Is there any reason for us to think we're going to have to hear from the Clintons again?
I think that, as we detail in the book, she basically says that night that this is her last race. And I think I tend to believe her here. I don't think that the mayor rumors are true for mayor of New York. And I think she's trying to figure out what she wants to do right now. She's stepping away from the foundation, from her family's foundation, and she wants to do something that's sort of unique to her, I think.
We'll see her when we're out walking in the woods, John.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Well, our best to Jonathan Allen, your co-author, and Amy, thanks. I think it's a terrific book. I've read reviews, and I'm always interested in these post-mortem books about campaigns that have become shattered. That's the title of the book. Thanks. Good luck with it.
Thank you so much.
Take care. And she does terrific work for The Hill as well.